Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're at, whatever time it is. Hello. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Sorry About Last Night podcast. You know, I was listening to the other podcast. Man, what a crazy bunch of jibber jab. But, you know, I almost have to do that to just kind of figure out how I can try and do this podcast. Part of it is because I just want to share my experience with life. I'm not a philosopher. I don't have all the answers. I don't have any answers. All I can do is just kind of share what I went through. And it's hard to do that just talking to myself. I do several podcasts with other people, and it's great to talk, but to sit and talk to myself, it's pretty stressful. Not stressful, just odd. Today is a special day. It's the anniversary of Chris Cornell's death. You know, what a tragedy. I don't know if he killed himself. I don't know if he died of natural causes. There's a new Pearl Jam song, Come and Go, and it says, high or low, where'd you go? And when I first heard the song, I was like, high or low, where'd you go? What's that about? And then, you know, it's kind of referring to that kind of that question. And I remember as an alcoholic, a practicing alcoholic, I was just sharing this story with somebody the other day. I used to have this like handheld crossbow. It was like a crossbow pistol. And I used to think about shooting myself in the head with this bolt. And it wasn't that I really wanted to die. I just wanted some attention. I always wonder if someone, the people that have killed themselves, if they could have just waited, you know, if they could have just paused for a couple minutes and maybe would it have still happened? I don't know. I wonder if Chris had a second, if someone had called, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe that would have given him just enough time to think it through. I'm such a self-centered asshole. I used to say the only reason I don't kill myself is because I want to be there to hear all the wonderful things said about me. That's stupid. I love this song. I love this song. It is a, you know, it's not one, like if you say, oh, Chris Cornell or oh, Soundgarden, this wouldn't be probably one of the songs that you would have considered that really represents the band. When I was out, I had moved out to San Diego with my parents, and I was working at this place called Fast Keys. And it was back in the day, they used to have this thing called Fox Photo, where they built these little kiosks, and you would pull up in your car, and you would hand the film to the person in the window, and they would take the film and, you know, give you a receipt. And then you would come back, whatever, in a few days, and you would pick up your pictures. And I guess as maybe those started to fade away, whether it was from computers, digital cameras, whatever it was, a guy out there decided to change all these little kiosks into a thing called Fast Keys. And I would work in there, And it was literally 5x8 size inside. It was just this little building, little house. And the walls were covered with key blanks, but we also did engraving, and we would grind out license plate frames and trophies and all sorts of tweaker shit. And when I was out there, so I was out, when I was living out in Albuquerque, you know, I was partying, hanging out. We had messed around with a little bit of drugs, a little bit of speed. But man, when I got out to San Diego, that was my real introduction to that, the fast track groove. And I loved it. I've always said I'm a fast guy. I never got into things that make me sleepy or down, even though alcohol would tend to do that. But always things that perked me up. And I started doing speed out in San Diego, and I was working in this little kiosk, and I would make keys and just tweak out in this fucking little building all day. It was crazy. It was perfect. The only problem is that, you know, me and drugs, eventually we come to a grinding halt, and I was probably stealing. And, you know, I remember, in fact, my dad still has this plaque on his desk, you know, Colonel Aquino, or, and I, you know, I probably made it and never paid for it. You know, it was, you know, what, back in those days, I'm like, well, what are they going to miss it for? It's no big deal. It's just a plaque, you know, so self-centered, back then. And, so I was working in this kiosk, and back then we didn't have iPhones. We had a Walkman, or we had the radio, and I used to listen to the radio. And this DJ, you know, he played rock music and stuff. And that's kind of when Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains were coming out. And I would sit in there and do work, and I would get magazines and read. And one day I was reading this magazine, and it talked about, at the time I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan, loved Guns N' Roses. Axl was the shit. And I was lucky enough, actually, to sidetrack a smidge. When I first moved out there, I was actually able to go see Guns N' Roses at Montezuma Hall, which was the San Diego State University cafeteria. And wow, what a show that was. I mean, Guns N' Roses in a cafeteria. Early, early, early days. And then actually we went up to L.A. the next night and saw them at a place up in Hollywood. Not like, you know, Whiskey Go-Go or one of the Troubadour. It was at some other place, but yeah, I was really lucky enough to see them at that time, which was, you know, can't even share the words how amazing that was. But I read this article, and this article talked about Axl Rose, and he really liked, you know, a singer, and the singer's name was Chris Cornell, and he said, this guy's the best singer I've ever heard. And when Axl talked, I listened, and so right away, I got, you know, we didn't have Google, we didn't have, you know, Wiki or whatever the shit we use today, Safari. I had to just start reading and go down to the music store. And finally I found this album, Louder Than Love. And this song was one of the first song I ever heard. And I was just blown away. The guy was just a siren. Unlike anything I had heard at the time, I was just in like shock of this music coming out of this guy's mouth, the vocals, the drive behind him. It was really my first introduction to grunge. And then it would be followed up by, like, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, Alice in Chains, and then Nirvana, and then Pearl Jam, and Pearl Jam would turn out to be the band that would basically be the theme song for the rest of my life. I was telling my buddy, a day hasn't passed since the first day that I heard Pearl Jam that I haven't either sang, hummed, or thought about Pearl Jam somehow during the day for the last however many, 23, 25 years, 26 years. and just love that band. But the point of this whole chat really is about, you know, Chris Cornell and the fact that, you know, he killed himself or died. I don't know. I don't know if we realize that when we kill ourselves, the devastation that is left. I mean, what do they say? It's the most self-centered act. You know, it's absolutely doing what we want and not what we should want to do. And that's kind of how I know I'm such a self-centered asshole, because I would constantly think about killing myself. Too much trouble. This is an easy way out. I don't know what it was. It's just it was a chicken shit thought for me. You know, anybody that's having those kind of thoughts, you know, please share it with somebody. Talk about it. Analyze it. Figure out what the real problem is. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The only problems that I have today are inconveniences, things that inconvenience me. It's an inconvenience that I haven't become rich. But if I became rich, would it be an inconvenience? Probably. You know, I always say, I want to be rich. Well, shit, if I look to where I was, how I was living back when I was, I did 2 years over in Albuquerque, living on my friend's couch. We were washing cars. I was piss poor. We used to make this slop out of potatoes, turkey, and beans. We cook up freaking 10 pounds of it, and we'd literally put it on tortillas throughout the week and eat bologna sandwiches. That's how fucking poor we were. So compared to then, I'm rich. But the problem with guys like me is that we always want more, and it's always the answer. Oh, if I just had more money. If I could just do this. Where I never seem to appreciate the shit that I've got going on. Fucking strange. I ran this morning. Oh, great run. Ran with my buddy. Suffered through it. I always say unless you're suffering. And that word is a pre-existing condition. That word, pre-existing. If you're not suffering, you're not living. What does that mean? You know, I walk around in my life with this like self-centered wall of fear. Up, 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 like higher than my shoulders. So higher, I can't even see over it. It's fucking encompassing me. I can't, it's like a 6-foot wall of self-centered fear. And I can't see over it. All I can see is the fear, and that's all that I live in. Because it's a habit, I guess. When I got sober, one of the things that I learned through a 12-step program was to really analyze what my fear is. My buddy Matt, he used to say, whenever you get a bill, take it out of the mailbox, open it up, write the check, and put it back in the mailbox and send it off. And I'm like, well, fuck that. You know, I look at the due date, and then I set the check to be, you know, cashable 2 days before the due date. You know, why should I let some company have my money any earlier than I need to? And he's like, because if you procrastinate that kind of stuff, if you take a bill and leave it in the mailbox, let's say you owe $25 on something, and you leave it in there, our mind starts to reshape the bill. Next thing you know, it's $35. In our mind, it has that power of a $35 bill. And then it becomes a $45 bill. And then it becomes a $55 bill. And the procrastination fuels the fear. And then by the time I finally would pay the bill, not only is it back down to $25, that's what it was the whole time, but I wasted all this time worrying about this dumb bill that I owed when it was really not necessary. And, you know, I don't do everything like that today, but it was a great way for me to look at some of these things that I do. Procrastination, you know, sarcasm. These weird things that come up in sobriety that you really don't realize. And so putting things off helps keep down that wall of fear. But the fact is that when I run, when I suffer, that self-centered wall of fear comes down. And then all of a sudden I become available for a message. I become available for anything. You know, I run to this bridge and every morning, or not every morning, but when I run to the bridge, you know, It's beautiful. I always say, if I woke up on this bridge, stood up, looked over the rail, I'd say, wow, that's beautiful. But when I run to that bridge and I look over the rail, I go, wow, that's beautiful. And I think I can do anything I want to do today. I'm capable of it. I'm not in that fear. And I've said that to other people, and they go, oh my God, suffering, no. And I think they immediately, you hear the word suffer, you think like a dog got hit by a car or something. It's really just doing what I don't want to do. Surrendering, so to speak. You know, if I've been invited to this amazing event, it's going to be so cool, it's going to benefit me, I'm going to get so much out of it, it's going to be me the whole time, and then all of a sudden somebody calls and says, you can't go. I'm pissed. The problem is that I'm not being allowed to do what I want to do. And what I would prefer to do would be float or fly, but I have to run. And I don't want to, but I know that it's really good for me, so I do it. And so the whole time I'm suffering and grinding through, and it's weird. Even like, you know, I usually run 5 miles. You know, the first mile, my bones hurt. I'm just like, what the fuck? Ugh. And then the second mile, I'm starting to like chew through some resentments. You know, I usually end up focusing on one thing. Something that basically made my life inconvenience, and I focus on it. And I figure out like I'd ride in on a white horse and chop it up with a sword or something. I don't know. But, and then mile 3 and 4, I start to realize, you know, this is silly, and I kind of work it out. And then the last mile, I usually just kind of make my amends and just get myself straight for the day. And then when I'm finished, I'm just like, I feel amazing. And not only have I exercised, because God knows I need to, but it's just suffering. And, you know, give me a couple hours and I'll be back behind that self-centered wall of fear. But it is good to kind of understand what's going on, at least. And, you know, try to not let it happen as bad as it can, you know. You know, it's super sad. I mean, I loved Chris Cornell. I loved this album. I loved when they first came onto the scene. I loved everything they did. You know, Soundgarden kind of broke up, hooked up with the guy from Rage Against the Machine, and just fucking knocked it out of the park with that band. And then kind of left that band and just was doing a bunch of solo stuff and just amazing. I mean, amazing. I just saw... My Facebook feed is like Pearl Jam, Chris Cornell, Black Circle, and then maybe a few little other things. But for the most part, it's these, you know, Chris Cornell, and just the amount of work that he has, and the amount of work that he has like on YouTube, it's mind blowing. It's like, how can a guy like this be that unhappy? And it's kind of like, I wonder if it's kind of like me saying, you know, I'm broke. But I'm forgetting how broke I used to be and how grateful I should be of the stuff that I have today. I've always said, if you give me $5, I want another $5. You know, it's never enough. And it was the same thing with drugs and alcohol. And, you know, it's the worst part about all that really is that we lost so many great artists from that time. I mean, singer for Stone Temple Pilots is gone. Lane Staley is gone. Chris Cornell is gone. Kurt Cobain is gone. I mean, all these, and that's just the popular ones, whether it was through suicide or overdose. It's like, God damn, how can so many great people from that time be gone now? I mean, I can't even. The drummer for Mad Season, I think, died. The bass player for Mad Season, I think, passed away. The bass player for Alice in Chains passed away. I mean, it's just one overdose, one suicide after another. Is it better to never have fame, you think? I mean, can you imagine that trip? To be that big. You know, it'd be one thing if you were like, reached the top of the mountain and then had to walk all the way back down and then had nothing and then felt like you had nothing to live for or something. But Chris Cornell on the outside seemed like he had everything. I mean, we love Chris Cornell. So talented. But, you know, high or low, where'd you go? Are you stuck in the middle? Is there a middle? I think the biggest thing that's always kept me from wanting to really fucking kill myself is I don't want to go to hell. But, you know, you wonder, is this, what is this right now? Is this some sort of hell I'm living in? This constant battle between self and humility? I don't know. All right, I'm going to take a break. I got to go do some work. I'm doing this podcast in between cutting hair. I'll be back. I'm back. Doing work at the shop. I think this, you know, when I'm not sure that there's really any boundaries or any rules for this podcast. It's really just what I'm thinking about, what's kind of going on in my life, what's kind of going on in the day. I know one thing, that I've been a bit depressed. Yesterday was very depressing. I worked for a little bit and then went home and just kind of, This COVID-19 is, you know, it's created a lot of different facets. And one of the latest ones for me is really just kind of this, I feel like all the work as far as like getting your kids to school and really focusing on them getting an education and trying to keep them occupied, it's really undermined all that. In fact, I was just talking to someone just now and they said that they're talking about maybe the kids starting in the fall doing online classes again. That has fucking been terrible. I don't care if the school thinks it's been great. They're confused. It's awful. I know it's what we have to do, but if that's what's going to be next year, give me some books and I'll figure out how to do it myself. But that online schooling is just shit, especially for the elementary kids. My older kids are doing all right. They have it a little bit more figured out for them, but elementary school, not good. And that's no disrespect to the teachers. It's just a fucked up situation, and the little kids are getting screwed big time on this one. And it's just sad. And yesterday I worked for a little bit and came home, and my youngest son just sat and looked at his iPhone all day. And it was kind of cold and rainy and wet and just not a nice day. And it's just exhausting because you just feel like some of the best times of their lives, and society has fucking shaped this world now that we're in so much fear of our kids getting kidnapped or harmed, and it's like, what a shit show. I mean, when I was a kid, we went out every day. I can tell you, nobody ever tried to kidnap me. Maybe I wasn't very good, maybe I wasn't a good catch, but never tried to get kidnapped, and just enjoyed my life. And now our kids have to sit inside because we're so afraid. And it's just, it's tough, and it becomes sad, and you know, I was very depressed. I felt very depressed yesterday, just kind of out of it, not quite able to get myself together. And then I ran this morning, and I felt a little better. The other thing that I did yesterday or day before is I ate a bunch of cookies. Oh, I felt like shit. I had a lot of shame and guilt. So I just felt like shit. I wasn't taking care of myself. I didn't like my surroundings. But, you know, that I'm able to identify it and figuring out what the problem is. Do I want to do something about it? I got up this morning, went for a great run, and then realized today was Chris Cornell's anniversary of his passing. And, you know, that just doesn't make any sense either. And so I really thought a lot about that. And so, you know, if anybody's out there stressed out, you know, this too shall pass. My buddy Matt used to say, give them whatever they want. It won't matter in 5 years. I don't know if you can apply that to this, but he was right. My favorite thing he used to tell me, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it's going to all work out. It's just, am I sober enough to accept the outcome? Am I sober? Or am I mind your fucking business sober? Is there a difference? I think so. Fucking love this song. God damn, Chris, we miss you. I wish I could have had a chat. If anybody's feeling shitty, reach out. Reach out to someone. Take a second. Think about it twice. We love you. We love you. Have a great day, everybody. Something going on, share it with somebody. It'll cut it in half. I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.